Hey, everybody. Will Scharf and Kurt Schlichter joined the program today to talk about the latest bond judgment. When we did this conversation, it was for $100 million. Now it's $175 million. Enjoy this conversation. Email us as always, freedom at charliekirk.com. Become a member, members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is Will Scharf, who is amazing. And Will is on Donald Trump's legal team, and I'm glad he is. Will, thank you for taking the time. Your former federal prosecutor, your candidate for the Missouri Attorney General. This is an extraordinary day. Walk us through all the details here. This is just a bond payment of $450 million. Will, walk us through it.
That's right, Charlie. So as your listeners probably know, your viewers probably know, Attorney General Letitia James, far-left Attorney General in New York, brought this civil fraud action against President Trump, despite the fact that no party was defrauded, the banks testified in our favor, et cetera, et cetera. That resulted in a multi-hundred-million-dollar judgment. We're now seeking to appeal that judgment on numerous constitutional, procedural, and substantive grounds. We believe our grounds for appeal are extraordinarily strong. However, in order to bring that appeal, we're being required, as of now, to post a $450 million appeal bond. This is an appeal bond far larger than any private party, you know, non-major public corporation has ever been required to post in New York history. 41 other states cap appeal bonds to avoid exactly this sort of situation. We've asked the New York appellate courts to intervene, either to reduce the amount of the bond that we would have to put up or to eliminate it entirely while we appeal this case. We're waiting on word from the New York Appellate Division now, and we're hopeful that they'll do the right thing here. But in the meantime, we're in this crazy situation where Attorney General James is going around and threatening to seize buildings and assets and bank accounts, all because she doesn't want us to have the ability to appeal this absurd, illegal, unconstitutional judgment that she rammed through against President Trump in New York court.
So this is the largest bond in history, Will, for an offense with no victim. And I can't understand, Will, the enormity of this. And so just understand, you have to post the bond just to get to appeal. Is that correct?
That's right. In order to be able to appeal, in order to stay execution of the judgment, as of now, we're being required to post a $450 million bond. As you said, this is totally unprecedented. Sometimes with major public corporations, you know, multi-billion dollar public corporations, you see bonds of this size with large judgments. But certainly for a private individual, a company the size of the Trump Organization, this is wildly unprecedented. It's never happened before. And it really just speaks to the absurdity of this whole situation. President Trump has said repeatedly that this is really, in his mind, about election interference. It's about depriving him of the assets that he might otherwise spend to get himself reelected as president, as is his constitutional right. So this is just an outrageous case in so many ways. And I believe at this point, the procedural pain is the point, that Attorney General James wants to interfere with President Trump's ability to run his businesses, to run for president, to do everything that he ordinarily does. And that's why they've been so unreasonable at every stage as we prepare to appeal this case.
So I want to. So Letitia James is likely to wait for ruling from appeals. I mean, is it conceivable they start seizing assets in the next couple of days if Trump doesn't post this, and it has to be cash? He can't put up other assets.
Under New York law, typically you can't put up real estate. We have an appeal before the New York Appellate Division right now. We could hear from them any day. Obviously, if she starts going after assets, we would have other potential legal challenges to those enforcement actions, to that specific process. So we're fighting on all fronts. We're going to continue fighting on all fronts in the days ahead. But I am at least hopeful that the New York appellate courts, either the appellate division or the New York Court of Appeals, the highest court in New York, may intervene here just because of how absurd this whole situation is.
And the ramifications of it are just extraordinary. So then also fill us in, Will, on the Alvin Bragg situation. Donald Trump is in New York for two things. Walk us through it.
So the Alvin Bragg case, Alvin Bragg is the left-wing Soros-funded New York DA. He brought a business records case against President Trump, alleging that payments that President Trump made to his attorney that were booked as legal payments were improperly recorded because they actually related to election-related activities. This is a case that the Biden Department of Justice itself passed on bringing. Bragg rammed it through a New York grand jury, and President Trump is likely going to have to stand trial on it at some point. That having been said, the entire case is reliant on the testimony of Michael Cohen, who's been found to be a perjurer numerous times by a number of different courts. This is a guy who's such an uncredible witness that no honest prosecutor would ever bring a case that relies on his testimony. No honest prosecutor would put him up as a witness. Just as an officer of the court, you have an obligation to ensure that the testimony you're presenting, the evidence you're presenting is honest. I don't think you can plausibly do that when Michael Cohen is your witness. All that having been said, what we discovered a couple weeks ago is that Bragg's office had failed to turn over tens of thousands of pages of documents from the Biden DOJ, other relevant documents that we were entitled to receive. So this case, which was actually supposed to go to trial today, has been delayed indefinitely. And we've sought to push the trial date back while we continue to uncover just how outrageous these discovery violations have been.
The different layers of this are hard for people to keep track of and to pinpoint. Is there any universe? I know that, you know, you're not able to say anything that is underprivileged, but where President Trump decides not to pay the bond, but does that effectively end any appeal process? Are they're holding the appellate process based on the ability to put up $500 million cash?
Well, we can proceed with the appeal, but in the meantime, Attorney General James would be able to go after assets, potentially sell real estate. Remember, the Trump Organization directly and indirectly employs thousands and thousands and thousands of people. What Attorney General James is doing is essentially she's interfering with the continuity, the continuation of ordinary business activities, and is attacking President Trump's ability to use his assets, to dispose of his assets, potentially to support his campaign for president. It's all pretty absurd. So we're going to appeal. We're definitely going to appeal this judgment. We're going to take it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. But in the meantime, the amount of interference that the potential attachment of assets, the potential fire sale of assets, I mean, it's an absurd situation that we're going to do everything we can to fight.
Tell our audience about your candidacy for the Missouri Attorney General.
Look, you know, we've been all over the state of Missouri. Missouri conservatives are as fired up now as ever before. They're just done with these sort of establishment Republicans who talk a good game on the campaign stump, but then don't get it done. Missouri's a deep red state. We deserve deeply conservative government, and we just haven't been getting that. So our grassroots people are fired up. We think we're going to have a great summer and a great November next year. I'm excited to hopefully be on the ballot alongside President Trump as we take back America.
What date is your primary, Will?
It's going to be August 6th, Charlie.
Wow, that's a late primary. So you got a lot of time from now till there. Folks, so many people I know are disheartened that our country seems to have forgotten the importance of citizenship and they wonder how a strong sense of citizenship might be revived. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College have produced a free online course on this topic, American Citizenship and Its Decline. Taught by historian Victor Davis Hanson, the course traces the history of citizenship and explains how it is undermined in America today by open borders, by identity politics, by the administrative state, and by globalization. Americans taking the course will gain a deeper insight about the connection between citizenship and freedom, an insight they can share with their family members, friends, and neighbors. Hillsdale's free online courses are an important component of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach increasing millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. So sign up today for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Start your free course today at charlieforhillsdale.com. Will, I want to play around with this. Potentially, is there a Supreme Court case that could be, or just some challenge in a federal court, absent all the New York corruption, on Eighth Amendment grounds? Play cut eight.
Mm-hmm. Everybody understand, this is just so he can appeal. If he doesn't come up with $500 million in cash, he can't appeal the case, which on Eighth Amendment grounds of the Constitution is an excessive fine by anyone's analysis.
So, Will, is there a potential challenge here, and who would hear it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Supreme Court said in a case called Timms that the excessive fines clause of the Eighth Amendment applies to state criminal prosecutions, state actions like this one. That would be our highest court of appeal here. We believe there are strong constitutional grounds, Eighth Amendment and otherwise, why this judgment was unconstitutional and illegal. We're certainly going to pursue all options there. But again, you know, we've got to get around this issue of the bond, and we've got to take this up step by step by step and just keep fighting at every opportunity.
It has to be a cruel and unusual punishment. It has to be. Let's play another piece of tape here. Let's play cut 16.
Prosecutors have a lot of authority and a lot of power, but you don't always have to use it at its fullest in every case, in every instance, just because you can. And so if I were the attorney general here, I'd like to hear what the appellate court has to say about the amount of the bond and whether they're going to reduce it. Because you can always move against the assets on Tuesday or Thursday or Monday of next week.
So this whole idea of seizing the assets is dependent on, you know, whether or not they're able, whether or not this bond thing comes through. Will they only go after New York properties? Is their jurisdiction only in the state of New York? Can they go to another state and seize properties?
They can. They would have to file with that state's court to essentially register the judgment in that state and proceed on that basis. But it brings up a big, that clip you just played brings up a bigger point about prosecutorial discretion. Prosecutors do have a ton of power in this country. And as a former prosecutor, I can tell you that we're trained to use that power wisely, to attempt to do justice and not just run roughshod over people's rights because we can. That's the opposite of what we've seen in all these cases against President Trump, where we've seen an unprecedented weaponization of prosecutorial power of the courts to oppress President Trump, I believe purely because he decided to run for president again. This is election interference.
That's exactly
this
right.
is an attempt to it's an attempt to weaponize our courts to interfere with President Trump's constitutional right to run for president and all of our constitutional rights to pick a candidate of our choice on the ballot next November. That's what's so outrageous about these legal abuses.
So I want to you perfect segue, Will. This is Rachel Maddow back in June of last year, but she said it perfectly. You have to wonder if Trump stops running for office, maybe all this will disappear. Play cut 19.
You have to wonder if the Justice Department is considering whether there is some political solution to this criminal problem, whether part of the issue here is not just that Trump has committed crimes, but that Trump has committed crimes and plans on being back in the White House. Do they consider, as part of a potential plea offer, something that would proscribe him from running for office again? I don't know.
You hear this, Will? And again, Rachel Maddow obviously is on group chats with DOJ prosecutors. She is tied into the regime very closely. Here's Rachel Maddow saying, oh, you have to wonder, is there a political solution to this? Go away, Trump. And all of a sudden you can keep your stuff.
Look, at every opportunity, Jack Smith, the special counsel, and his team have attempted to force the Florida and D.C. cases to trial as quickly as humanly possible, against typical DOJ policy, against the way cases of this complexity would ever be handled in another instance. And they've said in court pleadings again and again that they believe there is a public interest in President Trump sitting for trial before the election. They've kind of admitted the quiet part out loud, that they view these cases as an adjunct to the political process. Now, prosecutions are never supposed to be political. According to binding DOJ regulations, they're also never even supposed to appear political. We've seen that totally turned on its head here in this rush to judgment, in this rush to get Trump at all costs. And what Rachel Maddow said there, I mean, it's just despicable. The idea that you would indict a guy, you would threaten to throw him in prison for the rest of his life, threaten to take away every dollar he's made over a long and storied business career for essentially political reasons. It's un-American, it's unconstitutional, it has to stop.
Will, you're doing a wonderful job. Thank you so much. Check out Will Scharf's website. What is it really quick, Will?
VoteSharf.com.
VoteSharf.com. We're going to be doing some stuff to help you out. Love to have you at our big event in Detroit. It's going to be terrific. Thanks so much, Will. The globalists are making it very clear that another pandemic could be just around the corner. They want us to live in fear, to be willing to sacrifice our freedoms. It doesn't have to be this way. You need to be prepared, not scared. That's why you need the Wellness Company. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. Their medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. I can 100% endorse this company. They are amazing. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to twc.health/Charlie. That is twc.health/Charlie. Enter promo code Charlie for 10% off. The Wellness Company. They are licensed doctors and medical professionals you can trust. Again, that's twc.health/Charlie. Promo code Charlie for 10% off. See site for details. Prescription may be required. Joining us now is Kurt Schlichter, who is the author of The Attack. So we now have some breaking news, actually. Trump bond reduced to $175 million at the 11th hour. So that is just some breaking news. I want to make sure I share with you guys with a partial stay. Kurt, welcome to the program. Author of The Attack. Everyone should check it out. Kurt, what do you think of what is happening with Donald Trump's assets and the attempt to seize them in the state of New York?
I think the whole thing is I'm going to keep it FCC compliant.
Please.
A blanking disgrace. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm literally practicing law when I'm not talking to you. And what I see happening to Donald Trump bears no relation to the kind of law I practiced and that every other lawyer in America has practiced for 30 years. You know, I go to the Ninth Circuit, I go to federal courts, I go to state courts, wherever, and stuff like this doesn't happen. This is a scam. It's a sham. He's being framed. He's being lied about. He's being the target of vindictive prosecution. You know, the idea that someone would run for attorney general on the promise that I'm going to find a crime is so deeply and all-encompassingly un-American. It's just disgusting to see our garbage ruling class elite embracing this idea and somehow thinking this doesn't change things, thinking this isn't going to become standard procedure. You know, you throw away the norms, you throw away the guardrails, and you're in Thomas More territory. You remember that great soliloquy or monologue he has in Man for All Season?
Oh, yeah.
Where he says, yes, I give the devil the benefit of the law, because once you've cut down every tree to get to the devil and the devil turns around, where are you going to hide?
That's also a great segue, because Thomas More came up with the word utopia, or used it extensively, which means nowhere. These people, I think, believe New York will become utopia as long as we exterminate the Trump vermin. I actually believe they have this core sense that Donald Trump is a tumor, Donald Trump is a cancer, and I will be a happier person if we get him out of the state of New York. Your thoughts, Kurt Schlichter?
Look, I've never thought that they hated Donald Trump. In fact, they liked Donald Trump. They invited him to his weddings and parties and loved to be on his TV shows and to interview him. they hate the people that Donald Trump decided to represent.
That's
Donald
right.
Trump. Yes, Donald Trump is a class traitor. And, you know, it's very hard for me, who a guy who just despises Marxism and loves what America is supposed to be, and actually, you know, did a small part defending it, to see my country really being shown to have a very clear class system. And there is a ruling class, and there is everybody else, and that's becoming very, very obvious. And for a long time, the Democrats were able to come across as, you know, we're the party of the little guy. That is stopped. That is thief. The little guy is now the bad guy. That's the you know, yeoman farmer who is the backbone of America is now the you know, white rural enraged terrorist. It's bizarre. It's disconcerting. And I think it's very, very dangerous for our country.
And so the only way to stop this is to win. Am I oversimplifying that, Kurt? Because I get asked.
No.
Yeah, please go.
The only way through is to fight through. I mean, you know, the tactic when you're ambushed in the army is you turn around and you fight through the ambush. We've got to fight. And the idea that. You know, I think some alleged conservatives, alleged Republicans think there's some sort of referee out there is going to come in and make everything right because what's happening is so
blatantly
wrong.
That's so smart. You know, can I interrupt you, Kurt? All the time, people, you know, I raise money, you know, we have to raise a ton of money at Turning Point. And every so often, I'd say 1 out of 100 people say, but Charlie, America is going to come to its senses and someone's going to intervene and set this right. There is this idea of this kind of moral referee that just kind of comes in and calms everything down.
Yeah, but we're the referee, American citizens. You know, it's always weird to me how some people want to live in this childlike world where you can run to teacher and she's going to make it all okay. That's not how the world is. It's certainly not how our country is. And it's not how our country was designed. Because if you have if you have somebody who can be a referee, that person's your boss. Here's my chain of command. God, me, the American citizen, government officials, flunkies, and everybody else. They're down there somewhere. There is a chain of command. They're not in it. The American citizen is sovereign, but also has an obligation to protect himself and to protect his constitution. And that's what we've got to do at the ballot box. And that's what we're doing. And you guys are doing a great job getting out there, trying to energize voters. That's the message. Nobody's going to save you. You've got to save yourself. And that's true in everything. I wrote an article at Town Hall today about the terrorist threat, the same one I wrote about in my book, The Attack. And I said, look, nobody's coming to protect you. When you're in a music hall and some idiots show up and start shooting people, the cavalry's not going to come, not in any time frame that's going to save you. You better be prepared to save yourself. You better be ready to fight back if you can. You better be ready to stop the bleeding on a fellow citizen who gets shot. You've got to take charge. Democracy, well, we're a republic with democratic principles. But a citizen, you know, it's a participation sport, okay? It's not a spectator sport. And if you're sitting out, you're going to lose. That is why we've got to fight. And we've got to exercise our rights and our power. And, you know, and you look at the Republicans, and of course, a lot of them are afraid to do that. They somehow think it's wrong to stand up for our values. I don't get it.
So the... Kurt, I want to have you riff in a way that only Kurt Schlichter can at this. I was going to use the word bizarre, but it doesn't capture it perfectly. Of these Republicans resigning midterm. What is going on here, Kurt? So, seriously, I
don't know. I know Mike Gallagher a little, for instance, and I like Mike Gallagher. I think he's a talented guy. I don't understand why he would wait 5 days and keep that seat open. My guess is, because I know Mike Gallagher and I believe he's got a lot of integrity, even though I don't agree with him on everything. I think he probably just made a mistake, and we'll see him retire.
Kurt, I love you, man. How can you say he has integrity? Sell it to me, because it looks like this guy's a weasel that's trying to make Hakeem Jeffries the gavel. What am I missing?
We've got to see what the act. Look, people make mistakes. The test of character is when you correct them. If he comes back and says, hey, I'm out of there a week earlier, so we don't leave this seat vacant, then it's like, oh, okay, you made a mistake.
But why even resign, though? I don't understand. Where does this come from?
I don't know either. And there may be family issues. There may be other personal issues. I don't know. And it may be a good reason. It may be a bad reason. I know the guy, he gets the benefit of the doubt. Ken Buck does not get the benefit of the doubt because his proven track record of failure. We have to take each case individually. I don't need to look for problems with Republicans. They're there already, okay? But I am optimistic. I think we are slowly moving forward. Ronna McDaniel's gone. She's MSNBC's problem.
Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. I just, and Kurt, we could dialogue privately. We don't need to do this on air, but I just want to, here's my take. I had no ill feelings towards Gallagher until he voted against the impeachment of Mayorkas and he resigns midterm. I think he's being blackmailed by the administrative state. That's just me. We could talk privately. We don't need to do this on air.
It happened.
Okay. So now we got to get to Ronna. And Kurt, you know I take everything you say super seriously, and we don't agree on everything, but you're the best. Ronna. So who actually likes Ronna? She's hated by MSNBC.
No one.
She's hated by NBC. Riff on this, and we'll play it after the break.
Wow, Ronna McDaniel, it is just so perfect that she would go to MSNBC as a commentator. Although her job was never commenting. Her job was not to be a pundit. Her job was to be an administrator, and she was a terrible one. I mean, she was awful. She has left the Republican National Committee in terrible shape. I'm hoping that Whatley and Laura Trump can fix it up. Who knows? Maybe they can, I hope. But I just think it's so delicious. He goes to NBC, and the people at NBC, the same one who hired Jen Psaki while she was still working as the spokesman for the Biden regime, goes completely insane. Well, we can't have a Republican here who's actually a Republican. Well, you know, I think we're going to see her Michael Steele herself into a acceptability among these people. Mark my words.
We finally found something that can unite this country. Disdain for Ronna.
Everyone hates Ronna.
Ronna McRomney.
Yeah, she's just the worst. It's just awful on every level.
Morning Joe is erupting about it. You know, when you have anti-Ronna pieces on MSNBC and Gateway Pundit, you got something going there. For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues, especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I want to tell you about how Turning Point Academy is working with the Herzog Foundation, how you at home can also benefit from it. They have an online publication called The Lion, and also Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. So check it out right now, HerzogFoundation.com. Portions of The Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. That is HerzogFoundation.com. Kurt, tell us more about your book, please.
The Attack is a novel, and I could have written it as nonfiction, but I wanted to do fiction because I wanted to punch people in the gut with the danger that we face from terrorists, thanks to our open border and our asleep at the wheel federal law enforcement, federal government. I mean, look, if you happen to be doing something like taking selfies at the rotunda or praying outside an abortion mill, the FBI is all over you. However, if you're, a military-age male from a country full of people who hate us, you got a free pass. Well, at least you did. I mean, even Chris Ray, Chris Ray is saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, maybe having millions of these guys come in here could be a problem. It's more than a problem. It is a deadly threat. And I write about today at Town Hall. I write about in The Attack. We saw what happened at Moscow. Barely trained suicidal guys with very simple weapons can cause mass casualties. Multiply that by hundreds. I use the example of those idiots in Boston. Two guys with handguns and some pressure cookers literally shut down an entire city. Well, we've let 5, 10, 12 million people into our country, Charlie. Some of them are bad people. The enemy could come up with 1,000, 2,000, even more. And all they have to do is strike. I'm very, very concerned. The military, intelligence, and counterterrorism people I have talked to in researching the attack are very, very concerned. You need to be ready to act. If you can conceal carry, you should. I live in a blue state, which would probably be a target because you're less likely to get shot if you're one of these bad guys. And understand that an individual with a weapon is decisive in these situations. Because even if you have five guys with superior firepower, you have one citizen who's armed, that guy takes them off the rail. Suddenly they have to reorient to take out that threat while normal citizens can get away while the police can build up combat power. An armed citizen is not just shooting them. An armed citizen is occupying them and drawing fire. And we need to be ready to do that. Like I said, being a citizen is participatory. And part of being a citizen is defending the citizen.
So Kurt, just some breaking news here. The UN has just approved a ceasefire in Gaza, and the U.S. has abstained. Your reaction here?
That's the most morally bankrupt thing I've ever heard. I mean, we're just talking about terrorists. The answer to terrorism is to kill terrorists. And that's what the Israelis are doing. And we should be helping them do it. Hamas needs to be annihilated. Okay. There are two lessons that can be drawn. Either you can go on a rape and murder spree and kill over 1,000 people and either survive or die. I prefer we establish the people who do that die. Then we will have fewer of them do it. But, this Biden administration is doing everything it can to make sure Israel loses this war. And Israel needs to win this war, not just for Israel, but for all of us. Hamas must be stopped.
They're a bunch of monsters. Final thought here, Kurt. Your analysis, Trump v. Biden v. RFK. What are you looking at that you don't think people are covering enough? Concerns you have? Adjustments that need to be made politically?
I'm very concerned about, first of all, I for a long time, I thought there was no way Trump was going to win. There are far too many people who unreasonably hate him. The evidence has changed. He is now ahead. I think that's clear. But being ahead in polls, Charlie, is, as you well know, only half of it. We have got to get votes counted. That is all that matters. Votes counted are all that matters, not rallies, not tweets, not memes, votes counted. We need to vote early. We need to vote by mail where possible. We need to bank votes. We need to do it right. I know you guys are doing a great job mobilizing people to get out there and vote. But if we don't get votes counted, we lose. That is the entire struggle.
Kurt, great work. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.